Welcome, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. We're teaching today on the names of God, one of the over 700 attributive names of God. Yashar means the upright one. But I want to first introduce you to our ministry, which teaches you the Bible, God's revelation to man through Hebrew eyes. We're going to look at the culture, the customs, the tradition, and the language, especially the language, to help us get closer to the times of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, and understand what He said in its original, so we can hear, as you will, the footsteps of the Messiah and understand what He means. Now, God has one name, and we've been teaching on this for a few weeks. The name of God is Yahweh. I mean, you people have heard of the term hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah? Perfect. And that's actually, how many words? Is it one word, hallelujah, or is it two?
Two words.
Danielle's right. It's actually two. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And just so you know that, we'll be teaching on praise the Lord in a future series, and we'll go into that in great depth. So you understand it's not just something we say, hallelujah. It's something that we also do, since it's a verb. You are to praise the Lord. So we say it and we do it. Now, to the name of God, Yashar. This is a little known one outside of Jewish circles, and I want to bring it to your attention because we need to be good students. We need to study to show ourselves approved. Workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly handling or accurately dividing the word of truth. Amen? All right, so let's look at it carefully. The name Yashar means, first, the term Yashar, Y-A-S-H-A-R, and everybody should have what? You should have your Bibles, you should have pen and paper, you should be writing things down and learning. This is important. Study it, write it down, eat it, digest it, get it deep inside you, because as a person thinks in their heart, so they are. And we need to feed ourselves good food, holy food. In Jeremiah 15:16, it says, Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me the joy and delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of the armies. Jeremiah 15:16. Yashar, Y-A-S-H-A-R. Hebrew letters are Yod, Shin, Resh. Yod, Shin, Resh. Now, the word itself means straight, upright, righteous, just, honest, pleasing, agreeing. Right? The word again means straight, upright, righteous, just, honest, pleasing, agreeing. Now, there's a root to every word, and the root of this word is sar, S-A-R. Now, although you hear it for sar, and I thought it's yashar, it's the same Hebrew letter. But in some point, it could be pointed on the right or left, which makes a difference if it's a sh or a s sound, all right? But it's the same letter, a sheen, and it could be a sin, same consonant. So the root of Yashar happens to be sar. Now, that's the Hebrew word for prince. In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is called the Prince Sar of Peace, Sar Shalom. Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. So wait a minute, in Yashar, the root of it is sar. And why are we studying this? So we can get a deeper meaning. People, the more you chew your food, the more you'll be able to get into your system and utilize. So let's chew. Yashar. And actually, a prince in the ancient world was a warrior prince. Often what they had warred over, they had warred successfully, they would then be prince over that area, land, and people. So, warrior prince, if you will, for Sar, which is the root of Yashar, and the first letter for Yashar is a Yod. Now, a Yod is also a Yad, which is
a hand.
Perfect. It's a hand. And in the biblical world, the hand didn't just go from the wrist down, as in Western anatomical terms or modern anatomy today. It went up to, but not including, the shoulder. This is actually the whole arm. And that's a quick note to point out to you, because some naysayers said, well, Jesus couldn't have been crucified like they say in the Bible, be with the nails going through his hands, because anyone that studies weights and forces and vectors will know that they've had this and have done this, hanging cadavers in crucified positions with nails in the hands. It'd rip right through the hands themselves. It would not support the body weight. But that's not what the Bible says. Hands to us is far different than hands in the biblical world. So Yad would go up to, or the hand up to, but not including the shoulder, be the arm. And if you look at the way the letter itself was drawn back in the times of the Dead Sea Scrolls, you'll see that that's the way it was actually pictured itself. All right? So when it said Jesus was crucified in his hands, it was actually really between the radius and the ulna, the distal portion, the end portions of the two forearm bones, all right, in the wrist itself, and not a bone of him was broken. Here, the letter is Yod, which is the first letter of Yashar, and Yod, we just said, meant hand. So we just want to make sure you all understand what a hand is. And what do you do with your hands? We're looking at concepts, people, to understand what this word really means.
Work, great,
deeds. Deed, activity.
Yes.
All right, did you all hear what Danielle said? Let's go over it again for the people.
Work,
deeds,
activity,
perfect. So now put these two concepts together for Yashar. The whole word itself means what? Straight, upright, righteous, just, honest, pleasing, agreeing. Now, when we look at it, like going into the editor's room, all right, or into the studio, you look at the root. The root is Sar, warrior prince, and the first letter is a what? A Yod, which you heard Danielle meant what? Word, deed, activity. So, we see Yashar, the straight, upright, righteous, just, honest, pleasing, agreeing one, demonstrates the work, the deed of the warrior prince. That's powerful, because this is the process of making you upright. This is the process of making you just. This is the process of making it pleasing. All right, how do we make something straight, upright, just, pleasing? It's all through the work of our warrior prince, of Jesus Christ. And in a little while, Danielle's going to read to you a key verse that shows you God himself is called Yashar. And this is important, people, because if you haven't tuned into us before or you're listening today for continuing of this series, which we enjoin you all to study this and with us weekly with Danielle and myself week by week, and listen to the teacher, the Holy Spirit, because God's your teacher. We have the privilege of serving you through him, okay? But it's all him. Amen? Amen, people. And they all said, amen. Amen. So, understand that the work of the warrior prince, the work, the deed of the upright one, is that which then will make the people that believe in him, that follow him, able to experience, as we become one with him, the uprightness, the justness, the straightness, the pleasingness, the agreeableness of God. That's critical. This is a standard. When we come to know and pray to God and understand him who is straight, upright, just, pleasing, what would be some of the other, what would be a contrast of that, which it also translates righteous? So if it wasn't straight, it would be
crooked,
exactly. If it wasn't upright, then you see something that was bent or stooped over. Righteous, unrighteous, just, unjust, honest, dishonest, pleasing, displeasing, agreeing, disagreeing. So the contrast is pretty stark. With the work of the warrior prince, though, we can experience that which is straight, upright, righteous, just, honest, pleasing, and agreeing. So when you pray to God, we need to know God better, all right? When you relate to a spouse, hopefully you don't call your wife your mother, all right? Although I know that's been done by some. Please don't do that. Don't confuse roles and give them names that connote. What are those three things we've taught them before that a name is? What is a name, Danielle,
identity,
for the people? Identity.
Essence and nature.
Essence and nature. So write it down, all right? Name connotes identity.
Essence and nature.
And nature, all right? So if we're calling a wife mom, we're getting very confused here. And that's not uncommon. So you need to know the names and use the right names to get the right understanding.
We're talking today about the word yashar, which means the upright one.
Right.
And that's a very uncommon way of referring to the Lord, and it's not very common in the Bible, is it?
It's not very common, but it's there.
It's another way of knowing the Lord.
Yes.
Can I read the passage where it does refer to the Lord as the upright one?
Yeah, read it, but I'm going to have you read it again later.
Okay, it would be Isaiah 26:7. The way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level.
Perfect.
O upright one. Wow.
Now I'm going to tighten up the translation for the first part because there's a play on words in the Hebrew which is missed in the English. The path for the righteous is uprightness. O most upright, you weigh the path of the just, or you make the path of the just level. Now, that's a little bit different, all right? What you want to look for here in the first part is a play on words where mesharim, mesharim, there's a word yashar in there, and the next immediate word in Hebrew is yashar. Yashar is a divine title for God. All right, Danielle pointed that out earlier, people, that it's a divine title for God himself, O most upright, most straight, most righteous, most pleasing, most honest, most just, most agreeable. This is all shades of meaning to it, all true meanings. And he's addressing those that are upright, just, pleasing, agreeable. So God is the ultimate standard, all right, for those people that walk this way. For those people that are this way, the upright one makes the path for the righteous level. So people, please don't think God put a bunch of rocks, ditches, and holes and valleys all over the place for you. Please be careful about that. Well, it's going to talk about that in the future. We'll do a series on this. But your God is good. Your God is great. And your God is God. And he's holy, he's healing, and he's helpful, and he doesn't change. So please be careful about attributing to God that which is not and who he is.
You mean he doesn't teach us by putting these big boulders in our way to...
What do you think?
I don't think so, but I've heard that quite often.
And why would somebody come to that conclusion? They don't know their God. A very important thing is to recognize that we need to know who God is, we need to know who we are, and we need to know who everybody else is and our responsibility to them. God is sovereign. He's absolute God, and there is none else. Amen?
Amen.
He's God. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great and the mighty and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. All right? Now, that's in Deuteronomy 10:17. So, understand this when it says he doesn't show any partiality. That literally means he doesn't lift up his face. That would be showing partiality.
Mm.
Now, that's the Hebrew. Let's come back to here. God, in his sovereignty, has given you sovereignty over your life. He made us so much like him, but not him, which would be heresy to even think that, but so close to him, Genesis 1:26-7 and Psalm 8:5. Genesis 1:26-7, Psalm 8:5. Please study it carefully. Ideally in the original, or a good translation from which you can get to the original, like an interlinear text, Hebrew English. Understand that God has given you sovereignty. He has sovereignly given you sovereignty to make choice, which is why we're responsible. Conscious, sentient beings that have to choose. But God's already told us what to choose. He said, choose life. He said, I set this day before you life and death. Good and evil. In that, he wants us to choose life. He said, do's and don'ts. That's pretty clear. Do these, don't do those. These will give you life, the others won't. The others will rob you of life. They'll steal, they'll kill, they'll destroy you. So don't do that. Don't align yourself to that which is not God. He's freely given us freedom, and he has done everything possible without impinging on that freedom to give us everything we need to make all the right choices, the support, the help, the answers to get it done. Please know your God is good and he doesn't change. In Malachi 3:6a, or the first part of the verse, it says, Ki ani Yahweh lo sheniti, ki ani Yahweh lo sheniti, for I, the Lord, do not change. And in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus says, it's spoken about Jesus Christ, the same, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So, understand that, please, carefully, and we need to go forward now. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:20, He made Him who knew no sin, sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So this is what's done through Him who is Yashar. And in addressing a point Danielle brought up earlier, this is unfortunately very little known, that this is a name of God. Terribly unknown, but that's why we're here, to make known what need be known. And if you do know it, to strengthen you and build you in greater depth and understanding, to comprehend what is the breadth and a length and a height and a depth with all the saints better, as we see in the Ephesian prayer. And I want to sensitize you, those who do not know this, God is your standard. He is the straight one. He's the upright one. He's the just one. He's the righteous one. He's the honest one. He's the pleasing one. He's the agreeable one. Line up with Him and get your standard straight, okay? Now, this is the character of God. In Deuteronomy, we're told, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, that's a statement, really, saying that God is the only one. It is not necessarily meant, as is commonly taught, that it's referring just really to the composition of God. It's a statement primarily that our God is the only one. Now, in Zechariah 14:9, it says, And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day the Lord shall be one, and His name one. Very, very important verse. Matter of fact, if you ask a Jew in the world today, what is the single most important verse? All right, I didn't say clause or several verses, but if you ask them what is the single most important verse in the Bible, they will typically, unhesitatingly, take you to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. That verse you should know, especially if you're witnessing to the Jew. You have to know that. And I want to quote it for you. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and His name one. Uhaya Yahweh lemelech al kol haaretz, bayom hahu, yihyeh Yahweh echad, ushemo echad. Critical verse to know, people. Know it and study it carefully, please. God put in here for us. Now, God is called Yashar, that's what we're studying. Isaiah 26:7 again, the path of the righteous is level. Now, actually, it says the path of the righteous is level ones. It's a noun, masculine, plural. So the path of the righteous is level, upright, but it's a plural. O upright one, Danielle mentioned that earlier, Yashar, that's God's name. That's an appeal, it's a statement to God Himself. O upright one, you make the path of the righteous smooth. Now that term path should be studied carefully. In Hebrew, it literally is understood in the Hebrew lexicon as the path or the course of life, the course that you take in life. So listen to what's being said. The path of the righteous, the tzaddik, is level. O upright one, O straight one, O Lord, you who are Yashar, you make the course of life, the path of life, of the righteous smooth. So why are we talking about all these problems that people think they have and they attribute it to God? Why? Why? That's not smooth to me. God's not the author of confusion. Are we missing something here?
We're taking our human experiences and explaining it.
Redefining God.
Right, redefining God.
That's dangerous. That makes us judge and jury and interpreter.
Yes.
and therefore we are in a mess. How do you pray then? How do you think? How do you live? How do you teach your children? How do you work at your job? How do you handle stress then? It is not a part of life it won't touch, won't it? That's pretty devastating.
Yeah, how can you have a healing ministry if you even doubt that God does not do these things?
It won't be healing and it won't be a ministry.
That's right.
If anything happens, it's by grace. All right, and all truly is by grace, but where are the people lined up with the will, word, and ways of God?
Yes.
So when you say, Lord, you make the path of the righteous, well, let's be righteous people. And what is the righteousness that I have? One, it's what I do in him who is righteous. That's my actions that must be right with God. There's also the sense of understanding. We mentioned it before in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Listen carefully when we get to this term at the end. He made him, that's Jesus. God made him who knew no sin. He was sinless. He made him sin on our behalf. What is sin? Sin is to miss the mark. It's like shooting at a target, and the target here in people is really life. Life. We missed. Mistakes. Whoops. Or terrible things that have happened, from small to great, minor to major. We missed, and we know it when we miss, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
He made him who knew no sin, sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Whoa. It says the right, what kind of righteousness?
The righteousness of God.
Of God. That's God's, say it with me, everybody listening, God's righteousness. God's. This is God's righteousness. We feel so unworthy, and God says, I gave you my righteousness. My son took your sin on his body and back, and every part of him to give you every part of me to make myself available to you. I've taken your sin so you could become sinless. I've taken it and nailed it to a wooden cross and every transgression and sin that was against you so you could be free. People, this freedom in Christ, give him your heart, your soul, and your life. Even if you don't think you know how, say, Lord, reveal yourself to me, O upright one. I'm crooked. Straighten me out. I'm not pleasing even to myself. I want to be pleasing to you. Make me yashoda. Make me upright. I want to be honest with you. I've been dishonest. I've been a good liar. I've fooled lots of people. Yes. But I haven't fooled me, and I haven't fooled you.
Yes.
I've been a fool. I don't want to fool around anymore. So take me out of this rat trap, Lord. Make me upright. And the moment you do that, people, he's listening every second, waiting for you to wake up and work out and win. God doesn't want you to lose by being a good liar and a good loser. Get out of that place and come to God and get on your knees, get on your face, bow your head, open your heart. Say, Lord, I want you. Make me straight. Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord now. You raised him from the dead. I don't want religion. I want relationship. And I'm all about you. Make me straight. Make me like the Bible's Jacob. You take a Jacob and you made him a Israel. Give me a new start, a new identity. And with you, I can have a new name. You're the upright one. And I'm not going to live by any other standard, Lord, than yours. Straighten me out, O straight one. Get me to stand upright. I've been punched over and crushed by the weight of my own problems and world. I don't like the way I've lived. I don't like the way I'm living. And the future doesn't look good to me at all. Step into my life. Give me a life. Give me a future. Make me straight. And people, that's all you have to do. But do it with all of you. That you have to do. Because God expects you to give you all of yourself. Give all of yourself to him. And he gave all of himself to you. That's the deal. It's all or nothing. You can have God. He wants you. He really wants you. He wants you more than you want yourself. So why don't you just want what he wants? And you'll find out there's freedom found in God. There's freedom in Christ. And he'll give you his own spirit, a new start, a new name. And you can have a life that you were meant to have in which you'll have real satisfaction. So we introduce you today to Yashoda, a name of God. Thank you so much. And we say to you, Shalom.